Coming up, it's At the Closing Table, the podcast where Ariel and Ashley talk all things real estate, from local market trends to first-time buyer tips and the stories behind every sold sign. New episodes drop the first Saturday of every month. Catch them all on the Reggae Rocks app or at reggaerockstx.com under the podcast tab. Now, let's head to the closing table.
Hello, everyone. This is Ashley Pfeiffer.
And Ariel Brooks-Stevens.
And you're listening to At the Closing Table with Ariel and Ashley. Thank you guys for joining us this morning.
We're excited to be here.
We are excited to be here.
Yes, we are. How have you been?
Good. How about you?
Good. I'm tired, but I'm good.
I'm tired, too. I feel like it hasn't been as long in between when we talked.
Yes.
And that may not be right, but I think it's because we've been procrastinating a touch. Well, so we procrastinated last month and this month, which means it was just a month apart.
That's right. Because if we plan too far ahead, then we have zero idea of what we talked about before and whether or not we're even due for a podcast.
That's exactly. You know, there in the beginning, we were all gung-ho and then we got so confused. Yeah, it's bad. It's bad.
Last minute seems to benefit us in so many ways.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Gives us more material because we have a longer time to gather what we need to talk about.
That sounds so good. We're going to go with
that's
that.
That's the story we're sticking to.
Okay, so what's going on? We're about to gear up to send everybody back to college.
Oh, everyone's going. Got to go.
Gots to go,
Next week.
Mine haven't been home all summer, so, I mean, wait. Let me rephrase that. They have come and gone, but they have not been here collectively
Correct.
For the whole summer like what we had originally thought was going to happen.
Yes.
So,
well, mine have been home, but they work, and they're gone a lot, and it's, you know.
They're in and out and in and
they're
out.
They're in and out, but my house, because we're now collecting stuff for two separate places, it's really started to look a little silly.
Oh, like, so we had people over for dinner, several couples on Monday night, and I had to close the boys' room's door.
Yes.
Riley has got like five deer heads, a mattress.
Nice.
I mean, you can't even walk into that room because everything from his house, he's now moved into his bedroom so that he can move it onto the next. I'm like, oh,
okay,
dear.
So we got a little bit smart with the one twin who was already up in College Station. We got a storage unit, and we just put the stuff in the storage unit.
That was smart.
But because we're moving into a different place, and it needs different stuff, so we have his stuff, and then his twin brother's stuff, and
Yeah,
it's true what they say about clutter starting to grate on you.
It does.
Especially when you can't go anywhere for
Stress.
A little while.
Mm-hmm.
So next week, I mean, let's be honest, we should just start by saying these are first world problems.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
We're complaining just because. Mm-hmm. But
I figure most people can relate if they've got kids
I think
in college.
They can. And if they don't have kids yet, just wait. You think this is a dumb conversation, you're going to remember that
yeah,
we were complaining about the clutter in between summer breaks.
Yes, you will.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So, I mean, besides the heat and being tired, the market being a little bit weird.
I know, it's still mushy,
it is,
to say the least.
And I was just telling Alana, you know, you get every once in a while you get those properties, they're like, oh my gosh, it's sold in the first week after you've prepared your seller that it's going to take a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody else, things are just taking a long time to sell.
I will say that we have been getting some terminations, and I hate it when I see those. And I know that I think talked about them last month and the month before, but I mean, they're just not slowing down.
Interest rates, huge issue.
I know.
Everybody got excited about a potential interest rate drop. It's not happening.
No.
It's not happening. Inflation numbers are rising. So
right.
It's not going to happen. I think we got lucky that the Fed chose to just leave them where they are
right.
this week versus raising them.
Right. I've already been hearing that in October they're going to go up, though.
That's what everybody says.
Yeah.
But nobody knows, to be honest.
Nobody knows.
We just have to listen to people who are making predictions.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, like gas prices went back up.
Okay. Well, so is the Strait of Hormuz not even open at all now? I can't figure out what's happening, and every news channel tells me something different. So
sometimes
I don't
it's
know.
Open and sometimes it's not.
Okay. Perfect. Wonderful.
And now there's some sort of like parasite buildup from all the ships resting in the, I know I read that the other day.
Oh,
something
I hadn't heard
like
that.
That.
I was it's like, the explosive diarrhea parasite.
Yes,
I've heard
maybe
about.
So they're carting lettuce through the Strait of Hormuz. And you know, I don't know. It's all just a little bit, it's a lot to keep up with.
Right.
I think we're still also in that interesting cycle of interest rates are where they are, and yet certain markets are able to sustain list prices where they are, where other markets have to, or, I mean, we're seeing significant price reductions.
Right. I had somebody in here yesterday talking about the Austin market. I think we all ought to say a little prayer that we are not in the Austin market.
Well, I have some clients who have property in the Austin area, and they listed it $100,000 less than they paid straight away.
Yeah, and they're still not getting it sold.
No.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
And it was hard. 2023 was a really hard time to buy if you needed to sell now or last year.
So. Right.
It doesn't, I don't think it helps anybody to say that you're not alone. But it's just an issue.
So here's the other conversation that I had week before last, I guess. And then I actually was involved in the conversation naturally. Okay.
Yeah.
So we have talked about this multiple times about how sellers are just not ready to embrace what type of market we're in.
Correct.
And I guess that embrace is probably not the right word, but you know, you've got all these sellers and they're like, oh, I've got this wonderful property and I think that it should go for some exorbitant amount of money and blah, 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 right? So every time I talk to agents, they all are talking about this, you know, about that sellers want to list so much higher than what they know they're going to be able to get. And then it sits, you know, out there and it's not moving. And then they start, you know, it starts falling. Like when you're searching for homes, their house, because it's been on the market, is falling down. It's harder to find it, you know, all of the things, right? Well, so I have got a really good friend who, you know, whose parents have just passed and they had a large property. And granted, it is beautiful and it is something different. Okay. Probably one of a kind type of property. But on the appraisal district, it was listed at like 1.7 CAD. And they're like, we think we can get 4.8. I'm like, okay, here is exactly what every agent that I know talks about.
Yes.
Organically, I'm hearing this because we were having our coffee out on the porch.
Yes.
And they're talking. And so I told them, I was like, look, I'm being a good steward to every realtor that I know.
Yeah.
Do not start with that. You let them tell you what it's worth.
Right.
And you go from there. Otherwise, all you're going to be is disappointed.
Well, and a good agent's going to come show you. They're going to come with the numbers to show you these are comparable properties. This is what's on the market. This is what's sold. And I will tell you that you've got a large amount of agents who either haven't been in the business long enough or they just want the business.
Right.
And they're going to say, fine, I'm going to list your property at 4.2. That's exactly what we're going to do.
I specifically told them, if anybody tells you that they will list it at that after they've told you it's going to go for 2.2.
Right.
Do not go with them. That is not how it should work.
Yes, it's because it's going to make the seller feel really, really good in the very beginning.
I know, but it's not going to be good in the long run.
No, because the longer a property sits on the market, the statistics show that the more price reductions you do, you ultimately take less money than had you just priced it well the first time.
Yeah.
And especially with unique properties, they can take a little bit longer to sell if there's, you know, a home that's different or if it's a niche property that only a certain type of buyer is going to want.
Well, this property is not anywhere near here.
Yeah.
And still,
I think that's pretty much a rule wherever you are.
I think you're absolutely right.
Unless you're on like Fisher Island in Florida,
right,
where you can just ask whatever you want because they're not making like,
right,
no,
that's
more
all
room.
Yeah.
You're going to get what you want for your
house.
But even then, a responsible agent's going to give you good information about what is a viable listing price based on the market. So
I just thought, you know, that it was funny that I hear this conversation day in and day out. And then to actually sit there and hear them talk, I was like, oh my gosh, this is exactly what you guys are talking about all the time with the unrealistic expectations that sellers have.
Yes, they do. And to be fair, in 2021, you could get it.
Right.
But that was an artificial market. And that is probably the most difficult concept for people to wrap their head around. Mm-hmm. That 2021 was an artificial market implemented by our government to combat all the stuff that we had going on with COVID.
And, you know, all those people wanting to get out of the cities and, you know, all of that. And, I mean, it just was a perfect storm.
Yes.
And probably we will not see something like that again in our lifetime.
I don't think it was responsible to have interest rates that low because it wasn't necessary. You could get them below 5 and people got excited.
Right.
Below 4 and you'd been fine. You never needed, I think I've said this before, I had a client with a 1.9% interest rate and I was so happy for her. I know. So happy. But then, again, you look at 2024. Again, that was another artificial market because right. the Fed raised interest rates dramatically to help combat inflation. So over the last 6 years, we've had a lot of unnatural fluxes within our economy that directly impacted the housing market in ways that people just can't quite get over.
Right.
And it's, I don't know how much longer it has to take to do it, but.
Okay, so tell me what we're going to talk about today.
Okay, so in line with people working with elderly parents, selling properties and things like that, one of the things that is, that we're seeing a lot here in our community, the Hill Country has a large aging population. Mm-hmm. Bernie and Kerrville is a great example. Kerrville was kind of sleepy. It was a retirement community. So one of the things that's been at the forefront of a lot of news articles is this, they call it the massive, I'm going to mess it up, the massive wealth transfer. Some folks estimate it to be like $124 trillion over the next 20 years.
Wow.
With $54 trillion being just in the next 10 years, about this massive amount of wealth that people have built up because of equity in their homes.
And these are boomers, basically, correct. Right?
These are boomers. People that have lived in the same house for 20, 30 years.
Right.
What's interesting is that statistics show that women outlive men. So they call it the widow tax. And it's not a tax, but it's what the royal they are calling it, like the experts and the right. interest rates, you know. But it's been really interesting because I talk to a lot of people who are wondering, you know, my dad died. My mom's still in the house. What do we do? I have a client who loves to purchase property for grandchildren. So instead of saving up all the money for when she passes, she wants to be able to share it now
right.
because it directly benefits her kids and grandkids, mm-hmm. which is wonderful. But there's a large contingent of people who are sitting with this asset in the property that, although wonderful and potentially could be passed down to heirs, in certain situations, it's become a little bit of a burden. Mm-hmm. I read that 80% of people enter either independent or assisted living still owning a property.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to figure out what we do with this property. Like, do I pass it to my children? Again, like we talked about last time, gift deeds and things like that sometimes can have inheritance taxes when the kids go sell it down the road.
Right.
So again, we are not financial planners, attorneys,
lenders.
We're not.
We're a whole bunch of knots.
We are just bringing the word on the street. But so because I have an elderly father, a couple years ago, we had to get rid of his property, all the things. It was a different situation. And starting to work with a lot of people in this
right.
in this same area. What's interesting is that, say for instance, the two spouses live in the house and the husband passes away. Obviously, that property then becomes the wife's. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting is that a lot of times, if you have two people on Social Security, she doesn't get his Social Security. There's no more Social Security payments for him. So your property taxes stay the same. Your maintenance on the property stays the same. Sometimes your homeowner's insurance can go up because they do homeowner's insurance based on credit. Mm. And if you don't have a great credit score or right. you can't show that you have the same amount of income, that can change the homeowner's insurance. So,
And taxes always go up.
Taxes go up.
Insurance always goes up.
And the thing is that, again, not a financial planner. However, you have a window of opportunity to sell the property after a spouse passes, and because you can still claim, you can file your taxes as joint taxes in the year that the spouse passes
away. Oh, got it.
Okay. So similarly, your capital gains tax clock starts again.
Oh, okay.
That 2 years. So you can still claim the $500,000 limit if you do it within a certain time frame. Otherwise,
you're back down to
$250,000 as a single person. So the conversation I found really, really interesting because, I mean, let's think about it. The death of a spouse is so incredibly painful.
Dramatic.
So
yes.
many decisions to be made. Throw in there that this is somebody who's, you know, now all of a sudden you have a house that you have to decide what to do with. You've lived in this house 30, 40 years.
You own it free and clear. So you think, I'm in good shape.
Yes. And you're going to hold on to it. You want to have mm-hmm. all those, you're willing to maintain the carrying cost of the property because you think this is going to my children as part of their inheritance. Mm-hmm. Planning properly ahead of time is always the best decision, because any decision made in crisis, it just doesn't feel as comfortable.
Right.
And a lot of times, especially as we age, I'm saying this because I deal with a dad who does not do well with change at all. Mm-hmm. Any sort of change is really, really hard to handle.
Right.
Then you've got the mounting cost of assisted living. And so then the decision is, do I have to sell the house
right.
to afford the assisted living? Do, you know, there are just so many decisions being made in this gray area.
You know, so many times and throughout pretty much every one of these podcasts, we talk about, you know, we're not here to give you advice. We're just here to give you information.
Right.
That is what this is.
Yes.
You know, I mean, how many people, if we go out and poll older couples, how many are going to have any idea about any of this?
None.
Right?
That's what's interesting to me is that
they just don't know.
They don't know. Mm-hmm. And partly, right, wrong, or indifferent, a lot of professionals, consultants, and when I don't know to offer the information because the question wasn't asked.
Right.
And
they don't want to get themselves in trouble. And correct. That's a whole other thing. You know, I mean, if somebody walked in off the street and asked me these questions, I'm always so hesitant because I'm not an attorney. I'm not a financial advisor. You know, you get yourself in trouble when you start giving advice like that.
Right.
So that's why this podcast is so great, because we just throw this stuff out. Nobody asked us.
My hope is that somebody listening is going to say, oh my gosh, you know, a week from now, I ran into somebody who's dealing with something mm-hmm. like this and
made mention of it.
And now it's top of mind. You know, I
will tell you that through all of this, I have done so many closings for elderly couples that are selling so that they can move to, you know, their assisted living together. And
yes.
So for a long time, I really feel like it was either, you know, one or the other. Oh, I lost my spouse and now I'm selling. Mm-hmm. So somebody is talking to a few of them about, you know, making financial decisions ahead of time and whatnot, because I am seeing a few of them
yeah.
come in here.
Well, and
selling.
And I think too, it's maybe the rise of independent living facilities, which mm-hmm. are more like resorts. Some of them are amazing.
Oh my gosh. Yes. We've got a couple here that are the bomb.
I'm excited.
I want to move in.
I know. And I want to do it now. 55.
I know.
It's coming fast. but I think that the rise of certain facilities like that, where
right.
you can, what do they call them? Age in place. You
yeah.
move from independent living to assisted living, and sometimes you don't even have to move at all. They'll
right.
bring you the services. I think it became an active conversation in estate planning as well, because it's a way to offload certain amount of cash,
right.
categorize it differently.
Right.
Some of the places, like the ARC, for instance, the Army Residence Community.
Yeah.
Well, and Nanger Springs has something similar
uh-huh.
where you pay a down payment. Anyway, there's some safeguards financially
right.
That people use those funds for.
Yeah.
And again, your financial planner is going to be able to give more information about, you know.
Right. But if people don't know to ask the questions,
yes.
sometime I think you're right that, you know, that information is not offered. And I don't think that they're, you know, they're just doing it because they didn't think of it or, mm-hmm. you know, maybe sometimes they don't know. I don't know. But I think.
Well, and I think really a lot. I mean, I think about, again, my parents' generation, that 70 to 85, there's so much new out there. And as a Gen X, I mean, we've been responsible for uncovering all kinds of new and fun
right.
things. And so maybe we're just a more curious generation that's benefiting our parents.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You know, the other side of this too is when the spouse who's caring for the other spouse passes away, and then all of a sudden now you're making crisis decisions because
right.
mom has dementia or something, and you've got to move and do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just helpful for the adult children to have been a part of the conversation, or at least, you know, have an idea what their options are.
Right.
You know, probate can get a little bit tricky sometimes.
Absolutely.
When it comes to that kind of stuff. Again, I'm not a financial planner, but as a daughter in this situation, I often encourage folks have a power of attorney in place.
Mm-hmm.
Mom might be totally fine and very well, like she might be doing totally okay, but without that power of attorney, the children can't help her make a lot of the decisions
right.
that sometimes come down the pipeline. in a crisis.
Right.
So
I just encourage everyone to go to an attorney and mm-hmm. let them prepare, you know, because there's the medical power of attorney. There's the Correct. Regular power of attorney. There's the will. I mean, there are all of those things that go hand in hand. And if you have that, it is just so much easier when the time comes. And I, yeah. you know, when I lost my dad, he had none of that. After I harped and harped mm-hmm. on him to get a will. And he did not do it.
Well, Ashley knows I made my children sign medical powers of attorney before they left for college.
Yeah.
Because in the event that something happens, they're an adult. So nobody really likes to sign a power of attorney, I don't think, because they don't want the loss of control. Mm-hmm. Again, the conversation with an attorney is really going to be beneficial to help
right.
understand why it's important.
Right.
Unless you don't like your children at all, maybe don't do that. But anyway, it's a conversation that I think we're going to start hearing a lot more of as we go through the next 10 years for sure.
Right.
I also think it's an interesting conversation because the elderly generation, the boomers selling their properties, is going to open up housing opportunities.
I wish that I knew
younger.
The start of the boomer to the end of the boomer, that generation. What are their ages right now?
Let's
you know what I'm saying?
Let's look.
Let's Google it.
Let's to the Google.
Yes. I mean, because that is the hump that we're in.
Yeah.
You know, or part of. I mean, they had so much buying power and they still do. I mean, we're talking about it like they don't anymore. They still do.
Mm. Baby boomers are aged 62 to 80.
Okay. Yeah, that's about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. See, so those that are 62, they are still going and blowing.
Correct.
But we still got that.
And then Gen X is 62 to 46 or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, because we're right in the middle of them.
Yeah. But I guess, too.
But there just weren't as many of us.
Because I often think, like, people in their 80s are boomers.
But, yeah, no, I knew that there was a significant portion of them that are still blowing and going, so to speak. You know
yes.
I mean? They're not in the area where they're going to start making these plans yet.
Yes.
But, and I don't think they were even really over the hump in the large majority of
right,
them.
Right, right. Well, and it's interesting, too, because that generation is a generation where, like, if you talk about health, they're like, oh, you know, I'm really unlucky. I had a heart attack. Or,
yeah.
Whoops, I didn't, you know, something happened. Whereas we are like, no, we know we can prevent it.
Right.
You know, your heart attack in your 80s started in your 60s, that kind
right.
of stuff. So I think this is a conversation that lends itself in the same vein mm-hmm. of planning now for what you want to happen or what could happen
mm-hmm.
is so valuable because it makes it easy for your children. But it also helps some of those speed bumps down the road where you don't want to get in a position where this house that you thought was your retirement or was going to be your children's
inheritance
mm-hmm. turns out to
be a burden,
bleed you dry.
Yep.
Yes, for sure. For
Absolutely.
Sure. So, yeah, that's. I know it's kind of a heavy topic, but it's something that's
it
coming
is.
Up because it's in my face on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And these large properties, these legacy properties.
Yeah.
And it's kind of painful to see that they're changing hands because either there are no children to pass them on to. The children can't afford the property taxes a lot of times.
Yeah.
And that's really sad.
Yeah.
So finding ways to safeguard that. And we're not even going to get into what it looks like if it's in a trust or a LLC.
Yeah.
Because that's...
that's above my pay grade.
That's the weeds for sure. But anyway, yeah, I would encourage if anybody's listening to this and has some questions, please, you know, send us a message. We're at the closing table on Facebook or at closingtable@gmail.com. Because if nothing else, we can put you in contact with the right people to answer questions for your specific situation. Nobody wants to leave a house to a child and have it end up being a burden.
Right.
You know. The other side of that is I'm now having a ton of conversations with people about what do I do to my house to keep it up? Do I sell it
yeah.
in its current condition or do I do some updates? I mean, that might segue into a whole different conversation, but when you've got a buyer population that can't afford, like they're squeaking by with that down payment, or they didn't make what they thought they were going to make on their house, you know, then I always tell the elderly, you know, if your house has a time capsule, we can price it accordingly so somebody can come in and do it, mm-hmm. do the work. But if you do have a little bit of money, some flooring and paint goes a long way to get somebody where they need to be.
Yeah.
So that's been another conversation as well.
Okay. So, you know, you just, this is jumping back just a bit because you made the comment about, you know, the children not being able to afford it. And I was talking about, you know, my friends and having coffee and them talking about mm-hmm. how much they thought this property was worth. That is the exact scenario that they are in. The property taxes alone. So they're teachers. Okay. Uh-huh. It's two sisters, teachers. They will never hear this podcast, so I don't have to worry about it. No names. I'm changing the names of the innocent.
You've not mentioned a name yet.
Not mentioned a name yet. They are two, you know, sisters, yeah. and they are both teachers. Mm-hmm. And the taxes on this property are almost $40,000 a year.
Mm.
Okay. So, I mean, but last night, the one that, you know, I have been friends with since, I mean, forever, mm-hmm. childhood friends, mm-hmm. she is so upset and so torn. So the people to do the estate sale came and yes. met with them Monday. And so last night, she's just beside herself about having to sell it, right?
Yes.
Because her mother wanted this to be her inheritance, their legacy, right? Yeah. But the conversation we had was, what, you know, I know that it was your mother's dream to have that huge lake house, and it is beautiful. And they bought all the property around it, so they have no neighbors. I mean, it is something. It truly is.
We're going to talk offline to see where
it
is.
Okay. but, you know, it is just tearing her apart to have to sell it, but she cannot. They cannot afford the taxes.
Right.
And you would think that, I mean, her mother knew that in her heart of hearts.
Right.
You know, but the guilt that they are feeling is horrible. And so you've got to think about, you know, if you are in that position and you were thinking, I'm going to leave this to my children, do they financially have the ability to take it on?
Right.
Is it going to be a legacy or is it going to be the burden that we're talking about?
Right.
You know, because it does, it tears the kids apart to have to sell, you know, something that they know their parents worked so hard for and that they knew what they wanted. I said, but as two teachers, they're about to retire. One has retired and she is about to retire. Mm. Her age and number add up or whatever. If they both moved into that house together, they still could not afford $41,000 or whatever the taxes are every year.
Yes.
Because they're not over 65.
Can they VRBO it and keep it?
No, they couldn't make enough money to even pay the taxes, much less the upkeep.
Gotcha.
I mean, the yard, it takes them 2 days to do the yard work. I mean, it is a show place.
Wow.
But
yeah, I mean, that's a great example of what
it is,
a perfect example. And in that scenario, you sell.
Yeah, and they have to, but it is tearing them apart. And I know that their parents would not want that either.
Right.
You know, that's not what they envisioned.
Right.
The grief that is coming. I mean, literally, she was almost in tears last night talking about, you know, having to sell it. And it, I mean, it's just, it's heart-wrenching and you hate it for everybody.
Right.
So, yes. I mean.
Well, and the property taxes, that's a whole other conversation.
Just the taxes, the upkeep on
it. Oh.
You know, now it needs a new, you know, I mean, those kind of things through the flood. I mean, it's like $40,000 to clear the beaches and everything.
Yes.
And I mean, I don't know. I feel bad for them. And it's funny that we're having, you know, we're talking about this and literally I'm watching them go through it.
Uh-huh.
So.
Well, and the property tax conversation is something that I think is going to stick around for a long time because ultimately you pay your house off, but you do not own it.
Right.
And I think that's going to stop. I mean, there's going to have to be some sort of adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think about the challenge that we had here in Bernie a few years ago when commercial businesses were getting their property tax notices. And I won't say any names, but I mean, we went to bat for a lot of the businesses.
Yeah, they were doubling.
And they're like, we can't stay here.
Mm-hmm.
And we get that.
Yeah.
Because people were still recovering from COVID. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden it's doubled. And a lot of people trying to fill these commercial spaces, especially when you have the triple net, the taxes, maintenance, and insurance mm-hmm. on top of the rent, they're finding somewhere else.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think there has to, I get it. The money has to come from somewhere. But I'm curious where it comes from. I mean, states like Delaware don't have income tax. They don't have property tax.
They have state tax, right?
They might have state. I can't remember.
If I mean, it, was it like comes from somewhere.
It comes from somewhere, but somebody could own their property free and clear and not have the burden of coming up with the money for property taxes.
I know I've told this story before, but it was horrible. You know, we're Kendall County Abstract Company, right? So often we get people that get confused, Kendall County Appraisal District. And especially, you know, the old timers, it used to be, you know, right there on Main Street where the chamber is or whatever. Anyway, so we had this little older gentleman, and he came in and he comes in the front door and he's like telling, you know, Yvonne up at the front, "Now, honey, I can't afford to stay in this house with these taxes." Aww. And he wanted Yvonne to do something. It took a while for us to all figure out that he thought he was at the appraisal district. Yes, but, you know, I mean, it's true. I mean, he literally was outlining his expenses and his Social Security and how, you know, with his taxes having gone up, he wasn't going to be able. I mean, it's just, so again, that speaks to what you're saying about the fact that, you know, you may own it free and clear, but there's still monetary value associated with keeping it up and the taxes and the insurance.
Well, and with interest rates going up, gas prices going up, groceries going up, all the things. I mean, I think we're going to start seeing more foreclosures because people can't pay the property taxes. And
I had a phone call yesterday about foreclosure.
Ugh. Yeah, it's just,
once they start, man, they just keep coming is how it usually feels.
Yeah.
That worries me.
It does. I mean, it worries me as well because I think that you've got people who
we're on the line, the thin line. Well,
super thin line. And maybe maybe it's easier for them to file for foreclosure or bankruptcy because they only put 3.5% down with their FHA loan. So the equity, there's not a ton of equity in the property anyway. But when you've got someone who put 20, 25% into the property, they're never going to get that back.
Okay, so let me just, this is a side note, a tangent, I know that. But this is the conversation that I had yesterday. And this is just a what is it? An F whatever?
An FY.
No, well, like an FYI to anybody that might potentially be in some situation like this, all right? If you are not making your payments and they have started sending you the letters about that they are going to foreclose on your property and they're going to put you up on the courthouse steps, all of the things, okay? You get tons of notices about that.
Oh, tons.
If you start getting those notices, the first time you get that notice, that is when you need to go to an agent and you need to say, "Hey, I need to look at selling this property."
Yeah.
Because if you wait until this, literally the conversation that I had, they're going up on the steps on August 4th or whatever that Tuesday
is. Oh, it's too late.
Okay, it's too late, right?
You can't do title work in that amount of time.
Right. Okay, but here was the conversation that I had. If you can get a contract, even in that short amount of time, generally, if they've got it under foreclosure and that you're on the steps, if you provide a valid earnest money contract, they will pull it.
Oh, good.
Yes, and then that gives us as a title company and buyers and sellers and lenders enough time to get the property conveyed.
Yeah.
But the moral of this story is do not wait until 6-7 days before.
Right.
Have that conversation, start that process, because ultimately if they foreclose, you get nothing. At least if you sell it, you get the difference between, you know, whatever your sales price is and what you owe.
Yes.
I mean, it just, it does not behoove anybody to have a property foreclosed on. The lender doesn't want it back.
Nope.
They're not in the real estate
game.
They
do not want it back.
Right? They don't want it back. The sellers really don't want to lose it.
No.
You know, so, I mean, you've...
Well, and they talk about in the foreclosure crisis in 2007 and 2008, they said, had people just called their bank and talked to them about what was going on and where they were, arrangements could have been made.
And would have been made.
But I get it. It's embarrassing. It's nobody wants to do it. They just want to get out and get...
They stick their head in the sand,
I swear.
That
bank did not want that house back.
No, they don't. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's just a little FYI. If you know somebody that is going through it, have that conversation with them. Tell them, don't do this. It does not behoove anybody in the situation to let it go back.
No.
So, but it does go back to what you were saying, you know, if they didn't put anything down and there's nothing there, you know, then there is no motivation for them to figure it out. But even if there is nothing, then they don't have a foreclosure on their record.
Right.
And a lot of times what the lender will do is, you know, let's say that they're going to sell it for $200,000 and it, after it's all shakes out and everything is done, they owe $2,001, you know, $200,000,
yes,
you know, whatever. They will write off that last little bit.
Yeah.
Or they have, which again, I'm not a financial, I'm not a lender. I better give
Well, and I don't, I mean, every lender has a little bit different capability with that kind of stuff. But again, it's not worth all the paperwork, proceedings, time, energy.
Right.
I mean, even $10,000 is kind of, I mean, depending on the price point of the property.
Right.
You know, and it's stressful for those big banks that have foreclosure departments and the agents that they work with. I mean, it's such a draining process.
It is. I don't know how they do it day in and day out. It is, it's sad is what it is, you know? It's sad. It's
really sad. So, hopefully we've provided some pretty good information.
Okay, so can I talk about one other thing that's a tangent? I want to talk, I learned something new.
Ooh.
Well, okay, so it's not really new. I've known kind of how it worked, but not 100%. So as we were talking a bit ago, and we were talking about, you know, a couple owns a house and then one of them passes, I had two thoughts during that. The first thought was that I have I have the widower, either the man or the woman, because it seems like, you know, it's either one, come in and say, okay, my spouse passed. Now, what do I need to do with my title? Okay. So I get that a lot. And so we have the conversation about, okay, well, basically, you know, you own it 50-50. If you have probated, then you don't need to do anything. Okay. If you have not probated and you are not going to do anything, then you don't really need to do anything then.
Yeah.
So they are wanting, generally, they want to come in and have a deed signed conveying all the property over to them. Okay? And I have to explain, the only person that could convey their property over to you is deceased. So they're not going to be able to come in and sign, right?
Yes, that makes sense.
Yeah. So
I get why they would ask that question.
Right. I do too. I mean, it's a very logical question.
Yeah.
But that half interest just hangs out there until they decide to do something with the property. Either they pass and then their children have to deal with all of it.
Right.
Or they decide, okay, you know, I'm going to refinance this or I'm going to sell it, and then we deal with it then. So they can't just come in and have their deceased spouse convey their 50% over to them. It just doesn't work like that.
Can you change the way it's named anyway without, like, can you just
two things. One, if you have probated, then as the executor or executrix of the estate, you could convey their interest over to you. But why would you, I mean,
I'm not
an attorney, but
yeah, why would you,
yeah, why would it? You want to do that?
Yeah.
And then the second thing is, if you could do affidavits of heirship.
Yeah.
Right? And you file those affidavits of heirship, and then those affidavits state that you were only married to each other, you only had these three children, you know, you record that of record, and then that conveys their half interest over to you. It still doesn't change the deed that's out there.
Gotcha.
Right? So it still says Rick and Ashley Pfeiffer.
Right.
And then the affidavits of heirship have been recorded, and it shows, you know, whichever one is deceased.
Yeah.
And we only had our kids together. So that means that the half of the deceased parties has gone to the spouse.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah.
The other thing is, if you have probated, and let's say you probate and then you don't do anything with that house for 5 years.
Yeah.
Okay. A probate is only open for a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. So when you get ready to sell the house, I would be Ashley Pfeiffer would sell that house. It would not be Ashley Pfeiffer individually and as independent executrix of the estate of Rick Pfeiffer.
Gotcha.
Because that estate has now been closed. And whatever, you know, wherever the determination that that property went within that probate is where it went. And it would have gone to me or, you know, whatever. Or, you know, let's say he left it to somebody, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But that probate would be closed and it would not be, you know, as independent executrix. It would just be, I would have all the interest.
Gotcha.
It's just interesting. You know, there's lots of...
You're right. It is a valid question that I think a lot of people would ask. You know.
Okay. So that wasn't the tangent that I wanted to go off on. It was a good one, but it wasn't, where I was going.
And we have another one.
Okay, so if you have got, well, this is twofold. If you have got a husband and a wife and they own a piece of property and the wife turns 65 and the husband is not 65, the wife can go in, do the paperwork, and they get over 65 exemption on all of the property. It's not just her 50%, it's both. Okay, nice. So my question was, okay, great example. Rick and I buy a house, okay? But I buy it myself because I don't want to have to deal with him and him having to do all the paperwork. Okay?
Yeah.
So I buy it, and then fast forward 15, 10 years, however long, Rick turns 65. He's not on the deed. Okay? Can he file his over 65 exemption on our property? We live in it together, but he's not on the deed. I thought that the answer was no. But guess what?
It's yes.
Well, no, it's not 100% yes. It's a graduating scale of maybe. If we bought it together and we were married when we bought it.
Yeah.
And he just didn't do the paperwork.
Right.
Then yes, he would be able to. Because okay. it's half and half, even right. though, because we're married in the state of Texas and we bought it. So it would work that way.
Nice.
Because I have had multiple people come in saying, hey, the appraisal district said I have to deed half of my property over to the spouse that is 65 in order to put the exemption on.
Was it because they weren't married when yes. the property?
Ah. Yes. So that I thought that was interesting. So that was the first thing.
That's good.
Second thing is if you are selling a piece of property, okay, two scenarios. First one, we're going to go with the easy one. I have a piece of property and I am selling it to Ariel. Okay.
Okay.
We're doing it at the middle of the year, July 1. Okay. So as the seller, I have been accruing taxes from January 1 through July 1st.
Yeah.
Okay. Ariel is 100% disabled vet. Okay. So I sell her the property on July 1. On July 2, she goes in and files her exemption for a disabled vet.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is from January 1 through July 1, I have accrued the taxes. Come October, when that tax bill comes out, Ariel is going to have to pay the taxes on that property that I have given her credit for on the closing statement from January 1 through July 1.
Yes.
Okay. Then there will be no taxes collected from July 2nd through the end of the year.
Yeah.
So it's still on a disabled vet. We'll have to pay the taxes because they didn't accrue them. But if it's the other way around and the vet is selling it, so they have not accrued anything from January 1 through July 1. Mm-hmm. I buy it. I start accruing. Then I have to pay those taxes. But if that disabled vet, after he sells that house on July 2nd, he buys another house and he puts his disabled vet on that house, he still qualifies from January 1 through July 1st
mm-hmm.
for the exemption. So I, as the buyer, will not be responsible for any taxes.
Yeah.
Okay? I know this is confusing and we're getting in the weeds, but that is the scenario for disabled vet.
Yes.
Over 65 does not work that way.
Mm.
Over 65, if you take that exemption, when you take that exemption, you get that exemption for the house that you bought on July 2nd for the whole year.
Ah.
And Ashley Pfeiffer at Kendall County Abstract prorated, right, giving you that exemption yes. on the house that you sold yes. to Ariel.
Yes.
So Ariel gets the screws because when she gets the tax bill in October,
uh-huh.
she is not benefiting. The prorations have not been done correctly from January 1 through yeah. July 1
yeah.
because they took that exemption off.
Yeah.
So people just need to be cognizant of that.
Well, this is great because even though we do this every day, the tax part is often something that, because it can be like the 65 and over is a graduating scale. So I always tell my clients, call the appraisal mm-hmm. district.
Disabled vet is also a graduating scale.
Disabled vet is different too. So mm-hmm. It's something that we should be aware of, is pointing it out to our clients that they need to call the appraisal district and make sure their specific scenario is outlined. Because I can't tell you how many times I have clients who they just forget that they were given a credit. The taxes, and then the bill comes, yeah. and they're super upset because it's for the whole year, and then you have to go back and show them the closing statement. Yeah.
In every closing I do, every buyer, I say, now, yeah. you're getting this, you're going to have to pay the whole tax bill. If in October you forget that, call me. I'll remind you that we had this conversation. And literally, rain or shine, I say that in the closing rooms, because yes. I want to be able to know that if a buyer calls me, I told them that.
Well, and so often, That's not a conversation that a client has with me after the fact.
Right.
Like, by the time the transaction, especially if the transaction closes in the very beginning of the year and then their tax bill comes out, people don't always circle back with their agent.
Right.
Customer service agents, pay attention. It's probably a good idea to just proactively have those conversations. Like, I always set a reminder for myself. I send out closing disclosures at the end of the year for people's yeah. taxes. But maybe I need to do it earlier, before they get their tax bill.
Yeah, just prepare yourself.
So they can say, yes, yep. you did get a credit. Yeah.
It's always those people that we close like in June and July.
Yeah.
Because that's like half a year of taxes that they are not really thinking about.
No.
Yeah. And I get people, you know, buyers, and they're like, oh, I've looked at this closing statement. We don't need to go through it. Okay, well, we don't need to go through it, but let me tell you about the taxes.
Yes, yes.
You know, I mean, I tell no matter what, I slide that in so that... Well, I know that I've said it.
No one likes to talk about the taxes. No one likes to pay the taxes.
And it's October, and November.
And no one wants the surprise because it's before the holidays.
Yeah, I'm Christmas shopping about that time of year. No, I don't want to be paying a big old chunk
of taxes. No. So thank you for that. That's good.
Yeah. Okay, so I talked about the over 65. I talked about homestead exemptions. Okay, everybody knows homestead exemptions. It used to be that you had to wait till January 1 to file, and now you can file anytime during the year.
Well, I know that. Yeah. People may not.
Yeah.
I still run across people who've had their house for a couple years and haven't filed their homestead exemption.
I do too. I will sell a house and they don't have it on there.
I know. I don't have words, people. I'm just going to tell you.
I think either they forget or they don't realize. And nowadays, I mean, it is such a chunk of change that it saves.
What is it, up to $140,000?
Yes. Yeah, off school only. I mean, I do get that. But
still,
every cent I don't have to give makes me happy.
I got kids to feed.
Right?
And put in college. I mean, we all have something.
We all have something.
Yeah.
So
gas in the car.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we talked about over 65. We talked about homestead. We talked about disabled vet. I mean, mainly what, you know, you just have to be cognizant of tax issues and to make that phone call out to the appraisal district mm-hmm. so that everybody knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's smart.
So,
and I think sometimes people are too scared to call the appraisal district.
Oh, they're so lovely. Nice and helpful.
And they're not going to, like, flag your account and raise your taxes because you called in.
No. They're all super lovely. Nice and helpful.
We love them. Okay. Did we cover it all?
I think we covered it all.
I think we did. Again, if anybody has any questions on anything we talked about today, please reach out to us. We're here to help and provide any additional resources. We're at the Closing Table on Facebook. We're at closingtable@gmail.com and at closingtable on Instagram. I keep saying that people know how to find us. I mean, Ashley Pfeiffer is Kendall County Abstract. Been here for a long time. Ariel Brooke Stevens with Hill Country Home and Land. To the Google.
You can find us. The Google. All right. Well, until next time.
All right.
All right.
Chat at you later.
Bye.
Bye.